Morning, prayer warriors. Hey, it's another great day to just be loving and praying to God and just worshiping Him. And we just have a couple of moments here just to praise His name and just offer up a couple of prayers. So let's just go to God in prayer just for a minute. Oh, Lord, we are so thankful. We are thankful for all You do for us, to open our hearts, to speak into it so that we can share with others. Let us serve others. Just as we lift up these prayers in Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey there, prayer warriors. It's been a great week. And, you know, just as we covered last week, we just really want to kind of see how some of the Old Testament prayer warriors, the Hannahs, you know, the Joshuas and the New Testament prayer warriors, especially Paul, John, and some of the New Testament warriors, prayer warriors, whose lives have really impacted the lives of many of those today, and they continue to impact those. And so today I want to talk about, you know, a young woman, and I'm sure that she really believed what Paul wrote to those in Thessalonica, and Paul wrote actually there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, down there in verse 16 and 17, Paul wrote those five words: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing. And that's what this young woman did that I just want to talk about today. She was born late 1800s. She's born in the Netherlands. She's born in a Christian family, a Dutch Reformed church. And so they have this love for Christ. And in the Dutch Reformed church, in her community there in the Netherlands, their mission in life was to serve. And it was to serve others with providing food, with providing shelter, with providing money to others. Her dad was a watchmaker. She was one of the first licensed female women watchmakers in the entire country. So she enjoyed that. She enjoyed, you know, fixing things and understanding things. And she understood what God wanted her to do. And her calling was to serve others. Her family's calling was to serve others. And so, born in the late 1800s, so she went through World War I. So she saw that. And so here she is in Western Europe, right across the English Channel is the United Kingdom. And so she saw all of World War I. And you know, they had, you know, a nice home there in their small town. And World War II happened upon them. There in May of 1940, the Germans, the Nazis, invaded the Netherlands. It was their route to the sea. And as you take a look at them, one of the interesting things was that when the Germans came in, and they finally came in 1942, a woman showed up on this family's doorstep. By now, it was just the father and the two daughters, and this one daughter looked at this woman who was knocking on the door. And the woman said, "I am a Jew. I need shelter." Well, this family loved the Old Testament. They knew that the Jews were God's chosen people, regardless of what they heard coming out of Germany, regardless of what they heard coming out of the propaganda. They were into God's word. They understood God's word. One, that they should serve others, and two, that in the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people, and so they were obligated. They felt this need to serve them. And so this woman who came there in 1942, they hid her. They hid her in their house at the risk of them going to jail, at the risk of them being put on trial, at the risk of their family being killed for helping the Jews. And that one Jewish woman that they helped and the others that they had already helped in their small community, word got out, and more Jews came to them seeking shelter, seeking safe haven. And this small family and this young woman of about 40 years old by now, they were helping the Jewish families. They were hiding them. They were part of the Dutch resistance. And they built a small room off of their upstairs that would hold six people, and they would move them into this underground railroad system that would get them out of country. because the Jews were fleeing Nazi Germany at the time. And they continued to do this. And it was fairly elaborate. The Jewish families would come in, and if there was a patrol on the street, they had a series of bells and buzzers that told everybody to go back in and be quiet, close the doors, and they never found this room. It was a protected room, and this family prayed constantly over the Jews that they were saving. At the end of the war, they wound up saving, they say, over 800 Jews who fled Nazi Germany. Well, not everything was just roses for them. In 1944, in the spring, another Dutch person there in the community ratted them out. The father and the two daughters, they were hauled off to one of the prisons. They were interrogated. They were put in one of the concentration camps, and 10 weeks later, the dad died. From there, the two young girls, they were sent to another concentration camp. And that December of 1944, the sister died. It only strengthened the faith of this young woman. This young woman's name was Corrie ten Boom. And in prayer and in teaching these other women, she was leading other women in the concentration camp to Christ. And then one day they said, Ten Boom, you're free. She walked out of there. It was a clerical error. They set her free. And 10 days later, the rest of the women in that camp were taken to the gas chambers. God intervened in her life, and she knew it. She went home. She went back to the Netherlands. And even after the war, she continued to serve others in that community. And then she felt this call by God to become a missionary. And many of you have read her books, The Hiding Place. Another great book, Tramp for the Lord. She went to 60 different countries, preaching God's word, preaching the gospel, and praying over the unsaved. And it's because God had put on her heart at a young age to serve others, to pray for others. And in fact, she did pass away finally about early 80s. She was living in California, but she left us with so many prayers and so many thoughts. And she said, even as the angry thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. She was talking about a lieutenant that was giving her such a bad time in one of the concentration camps. Jesus Christ died for this man. Was I going to ask more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. Another prayer, she said, she was very fearful through all of that time. And she said, I pray to dispel my fear. I begin to pray for others. I prayed for everyone who came into my thoughts. I don't know how long I continued my prayer, but I know this. My fear was gone as I interceded for others. It had released me. So prayer is so powerful. It'll get rid of fear. Here is a young woman who's just under horrible conditions and praying for others, and the fear goes away. God takes care of that. And finally, just in closing, her final prayer, we never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get us involved in his plan for the answer. Let me say that one more time. It's beautiful. We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get us involved in his plan for the answer. Yes, just as Paul says back there in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Corrie ten Boom lived her years, over 90 years old, just loving and praying and serving. I just pray that we as modern day prayer warriors can follow her example. Thank you, praise God, and have an amazing week.